Blog Talk Radio.
Royalty. Powers of the chosen people. Bible in my hand, word inside my heart, and pain before my eyes. Broken people wanting to believe in something, looking for a light, trying to find the truth. But we give them doubt, saying we do something we don't. Hurting people, saying we do things that we won't. Whooping sheets, clothing with a cross on his chest. Taking people money, promising to be blessed. But power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, royal priesthood. Yeah. Yeah, that you've been called out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are? Royalty, yeah. Once we weren't the people, now we are the people. Do you know who you are? Let them call you those things if you knew you were a queen. And my brother, would you be out there risking your life for green paper if you knew you had it all already, if you knew you were a king? Well, the best I can offer is to tell you the truth. Mercy changed everything for me and you, but they don't really tell us what we do need to know. 1 Peter 2 and 6, a blessing for sure. So power to the chosen people, who at one point wasn't viewed as an equal. His own chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hey. Say that you were called out of the dark into the marvelous light. Do you know who you are?
Royalty.
Once we weren't the people,
mercy made us the people.
Now we are the people.
Forward to the show itself. We already got somebody that pushed one. So let's see what's going on. Area code 210, you push one. Well, what's going on with you? Hello?
Oh, Yaina, I didn't push it. It must have been an accident. I forgot to mute it, so. I don't know how it works, so I'm sorry.
Oh, no problem. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom to you too.
All right, here we go. All right, you women sounded so young. Man, listen, I am doing wonderful today. I'm glad to be here. Looking forward to our show, making some things happen. Oh, my gosh. You know, the closer we get, the more excited we get. I'm trying to contain myself. You know, I was so emotional today at work. I mean, it just brought tears to my eyes just to know that we are this close. We're close, people. I mean, wow. You know, this is the big hoo-ha here. Well, I mean, really? You know what I'm saying? This is the big hoo-ha. I mean, we're getting ready to do some big boy things. Oh, my goodness gracious and mercy. We have made it thus far. All praises to the Holy One of Israel. The beautiful things that we are doing, you know, we have been talking about this for so long. You said, that's all y'all talk about. That's all there is to talk about. We don't want to talk about Trump and all them because they're going to do what they have to do. But, man, look at what is happening. We made some headway. I'm going to wait till everybody, try to wait till a lot of people come on. But since you guys are first, I'm going to say it to you first. We made some headway with some things that we have set up the products for the 2019 Day of Repentance. I told you guys, remember, a long time ago to save your money because we was going to need some help. We have to collect $345 so that we can put the deposit down on the chairs and the tables and the tents and all of that. So we need everybody to, you know, I don't hate to be like church, reach deep. You know how I used to be in church. Go down there real deep. If everybody can make a another donation, a gift. IRS told me not to say donation because we are not a 501c3. If you can gift us something, if you could put it through PayPal, we would appreciate it. Our PayPal address is nationofyehuda@yahoo.com, nationofyehuda@yahoo.com. We have to come up with this money as soon as we can so we can put this deposit down and get them out of the way. That is out of the way. Sound system and all that stuff is going to be, we have figured out a way to make that really cheap so we don't have a whole lot. Remember, we were telling you guys it was going to be $3,000. We didn't figure out a way around that. So we are not going to have to do that. All praises to the Most High God. So we basically are getting this thing together, and, you know, this is crunch time now. You know, this is where the money comes in at. Now that we have the location secured, it is definitely September 7th and 8th, 2019. You guys can go ahead and make your flight reservations. The hotel information will be up at the end of the month. We are negotiating with a hotel in Washington, D.C. to get our rates as low as we can, and we will need as many people as possible to stay in that hotel so that we can get all of the nice amenities that go along with that. And we're looking forward to this thing. I mean, here we go. It's amazing that we have come to this point now, you know, and all good things are going to happen. I'm just excited about this thing. I am so excited. You know, and it's not a lot. You know, I think the whole tent thing is like $691 something and some change, but they need half of it up front, and then the other half 2 weeks before we actually get there. You know, so if we can do that, I will sponsor the sound system myself. That's going to be my gift to the event itself. So I'm gonna take care of that part. And, you know, the T-shirts are going to be ready in a minute, and, you know, we can do that by the end of the month, and everybody support us with the T-shirts. I think we'll be okay. I think we're going to be just fine. It's all coming together slowly but surely. I spoke to the lady at the Capitol building earlier today, and she was excited. I was excited, and it's moving forward. Y'all is doing something miraculous. He is making this thing come together. You know, and once we do that and we make sure that they're there and they bring all the stuff and set everything up, you know, all we got to do is just show up and do what we do. So, I mean, you know, we have a couple of more things that we're investigating having, and those things may cost a little bit more. But for the most part right now, today, we're just collecting $345. So anybody that wants to donate something via email, you can do that. If you want to send it through the mail, you can do that too. Our P.O. box is 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. Nation of Yehuda, P.O. box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. Our PayPal account is Nation of Yehuda And Yehuda spelled Y-E-H-U-D-A-H at yahoo.com. That's our PayPal email. So please feel free to do that as much as you can possibly spare. We would appreciate it. That's just phase one. We got about two more phases, but it won't be a lot because we believe in keeping the cost simple as possible because, you know, that's just ridiculous. Who can give somebody $3,000 or $4,000? It's like, you know, we know how to do that. We, you know, one thing we do know how to do is be poor. We can do that very well. So we have to learn how to get out of that mentality because our lives are getting ready to change. You know, and I was thinking about that, like, wow, our life is getting ready to change as we know it. Because if the Most High said you leaving with great substance, guess what, ladies and gentlemen? You leaving with great substance. You are. You leaving with great substance. And that means rich. You're going to be rich in health. You're going to be rich in mind. You're going to be rich in spirit. And you're going to be rich in wealth. Because Most High don't play. When he said great, your great and his great is two totally different things. What an amazing thing that is. Area code 540, your mic is open. You're on the air. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, Sister Yahina and everyone. The zip code for Cincinnati, Ohio, you were giving the for the gift?
Yes, ma'am, if you want to mail it. Some people don't like to do online because they don't want to put their credit card online. Some people don't have a problem with it. I don't have a problem with it. But if you just don't want to do it that way, you can always mail it in.
Okay, so that's Nation of Yehuda, PO Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, and
the zip code is 45240.
45240.
Yes, ma'am. Aren't you getting excited? I mean, I'm getting excited. I'm like,
I just can't wait. I just can't wait. I just have problems finding a dress so far, but I'll keep looking and I'm going to...
Hold your horses because I think I got that problem solved. I had a problem too, but I've been on a couple of websites and I'm compiling them all together. And see, some of these places on the website, on the internet, you have to check out and verify because some of these are bogus websites. And really, when you go, if you're ordering something, please check the comments underneath what other people have ordered because
right.
A lot of the places I found some stuff that I like, but they said when they got it in the mail, it didn't look like the picture.
Okay. And do you take money orders?
Yes, ma'am. Money orders are preferred. Yes, ma'am. I mean, you know, you can do checks too, but money orders are preferred. If you want to do it that way, checks are preferred. That's fine, you know, but whatever you guys can spare, we greatly appreciate it. Like I said, we have the sound system out of the way that's done. The tables, chairs, tents, because we have a tent that we're going to have out there with tables to cover the food and everything up for us. And, you know, we will be sending invitations to specific groups of people on May the 15th. So we have little expenses, you know, little things like that. We're not going to send out any more than 100 invitations, you know, for the event. And some of them are going to be to some of the Hebrew churches. So we're going to send them to some of the Hebrew churches and let them know what we're doing, and then we're going to go from there.
Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
me too. I am too. I'm getting so excited. I prayed today, and I told y'all, I said, these are the times that I wish I had the money because you guys wouldn't have to spend nothing. I would do it all. I mean, I really would. I just don't have it like that anymore. But if I had it, I would pay for all the stuff, and all you had to do is just show up. That's how excited I am, and I'm just expecting to see God do some miraculous things. But I am. I'm expecting it.
He's working miracles.
Yes,
he's going to provide for everyone that wants to be there. That's how he's going to work this miracle for everyone.
Yes, ma'am. I believe that. Ooh, I got excited today. I got so excited today. Let me tell you what I found in the Word. Because, see, the only thing that gets me excited is the Word. When I look at the Word, I'm like, let me find it. It's in the book of Exodus, and it's chapter 2. And I am so excited about this Word. I don't know what to do. It's just exciting. Let me see. When you talk about us
coming together. One thing that I realize in the Word of God is that there is nothing new under the sun. You know, and as I began to research the Word, I found that, you know, when you look at the first Exodus of our ancestors coming up out of Egypt, which we know that this is not it, you know, the 400 year that was prophesied to Abraham, but there has to be parallels between the two Exodus, because Yah, he said, I change not. He said, I do everything the same way. And, you know, we have listened to all the different Hebrew Israelite groups to say, it don't take all that. It ain't the 400 years. You ain't got to come together and be doing all that kind of stuff, blah, blah, blah. But when I began to search the scripture, and I was in Exodus chapter 2, it says, verse 23, it says, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. They were tired of being in the mess. Everybody on this line done sighed for one reason or the other, like, I'm tired of this. I'm ready to go home. We got people from all walks of life, from the richest to the poorest, that saying the same thing. And it kind of brings to mind that it doesn't matter what social status you're at when you are considered to be in captivity. It's the same cry everywhere, because the things that we thought was going to make us happy didn't make us happy. And we're never supposed to be comfortable. You know, he said, and they cried. And that's what we're getting ready to do in 2019, when we go to Washington, D.C., and we come together as a group. We can ready to cry out to the Most High God. And it says, and their cry unto God by reason of their bondage. You know what I'm saying? They was about to be delivered. They found us up too. But they did something to initiate God's response. And it said in verse 24, he said, and Yah heard their groaning, and Yah remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. We got to do this. Guess what we getting ready to do? It wasn't no coincidence that he put that in our hearts to go to Washington, D.C. So guess what we going to do? We getting ready to do the same thing our ancestors did. We just getting ready to do it at the end of our captivity, like they did it at the end of theirs. Isn't that amazing?
Hallelujah.
And we thought it was us. And the Lord, I said, no, there's nothing new under the sun. The same way they did it, you're going to do it the same way. He said, and I'm going to hear your cry. He said, we got to go cry out. It's not something that we can do individually. We have to do this together as a nation. And when I saw that, I was like, whoa. That is just too much of a coincidence for us to be in a situation like this. Because guess what? Nobody else thought about going to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, that's
true. We got to come together. We got to come together. And then when I started researching it, and I started looking, I said, well, let me see how much this comes into play with our other captivity and how different this is. And then when I went to Exodus chapter 14, I said, wait a minute, hold on, there's a pattern here. It says in Exodus chapter 14, it says that when Pharaoh's army was coming against the children of Israel after they had left, they said the children of Israel were so afraid that they cried out to Yah. And they cried out to him. They said, we're going to die in this wilderness. But guess what the Most High did? He showed up again. And every time that the children of Israel would cry out to the Most High, he would show up. He told us to come together and pray, just like he said in Deuteronomy chapter 4. He said, if you come together and pray with your whole heart and you cry out to me, you and your children, he said, I'm going to hear you.
Hallelujah.
We got to do it.
Hallelujah.
We don't have a choice. We have to do it. We have to.
Yes, we want out. We need to be out.
It's time to do it. It's time. It's time for us to do this thing. This thing is getting ready to be something. I was getting discouraged at one point because I was like, well, you know, it would be nice to have all the Hebrews there. And then I grew up and said it don't have to be the 12, but we have 12, that's enough. But you know what, the most I spoke something in my spirit today, he said, you let me take care of that part. You do what you're supposed to do, and I got that part. So whatever it is and however he fixes it, that's how it's going to be. But it's going to achieve something. He did not allow, guess what, if God didn't want this to happen, this wouldn't be happening.
It wouldn't. That's true. That is so true.
And when you understand the government that we're under, when you understand the people, the powers that be that are in charge, when you understand the things that they have done to prevent us from coming together as a people, if this wasn't God, this wouldn't be happening.
Yes. I agree.
It really wouldn't. It really wouldn't. And that alone should be enough for people to say, maybe I do need to be there. You know, it's like, I don't know what you know. I look up to heaven like, okay, you up to something. I don't know what it is. You know, that's how I am when I'm trying to be smart aleck. I look up, I'm like, I know you up to something. I don't know what it is, but you certainly are up to something. You know what? He's setting the stage for something. He is.
Yes.
He is setting the stage for something.
Hallelujah.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. His word does not come back void. It does not. In the same way our forefathers did it, he said, and I'm going to remember the covenant that I had with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When you cry out, I'm going to remember the covenant that I made with them. He's going to turn around and face us again. And by the time we get there, the curse will already be over.
Yeah.
So ain't no telling which way we're going to be feeling and what he has in store for us. There's no telling what's going on. But we're going to get there. We're on our way there.
Hallelujah.
You know, praise the mighty God. You know, and it's just amazing how when you look at the first Exodus, and you look at the second Exodus, the people are in the same state that they were in then. They're tired of Egypt.
Yeah.
We're tired of Egypt.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Oh, weary.
No, we're ready to go. Everybody's saying it. I'm ready to go. Everybody waking up from the thug to the businessman to the politician. Everybody's beginning to wake up to the billionaire saying, I'm ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's never what it's cracked up to be. And it, why, Father, don't hesitate. It was meant to be a punishment. And that's what it was meant to be. And it can't be anything else but that. Now, he's made a way some of us have been able to live pretty good in the punishment. And some of us have had to struggle. But it's a punishment nevertheless. Because even though you may have had more than the others, they have never allowed you to forget the fact that they are in charge.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how y'all set it up. You know, and there's nothing we can do if we can't be angry about it. We can't be mad about it. We have to accept it on its terms and realize that there's an exit strategy, that there's a date when this all is ending. And you know what? We're 4 months away from that date. 4 months away. 4 months away. Now, does that mean our location changes? No. Not necessarily so. We may not go anywhere after this is over right now. You know, because to me, this is a perfect opportunity once this curse is over, for us to be able to show the other nations. Because, see, we're supposed to be priests to the other nations. This in-between time, from the time we've completed the sentence until we go into the wilderness, is the most important time there is, because we will no longer be under the curse. We will have the fallbacking of the Most High and his authority to be able to be priests to the other nations. We will be able to live a lifestyle that the other people will be able to pay attention to, and they will see the difference between then and now.
Yes, will show forth his character.
Yes, 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 ma'am. So, I mean, this is going to be something, you know, everybody, well, how long once this is over? That should be, you know, that we definitely are ready to go, but at the same time, we have to, our family members have to see a difference.
Yes.
They have to. I remember when I went in, when I got in church, because I was one of them ones, I did what I wanted to do. I'm going to be honest. What I wanted to do, I did. And what I didn't want to do, I didn't do. But I did do what I wanted to do. And I remember my grandfather told me one day, he said, I've watched you change. He said, I've watched you change. He said, so I know that it ain't bad for you to be in church because I've seen you change. And we have to get that same testimony when we're in white standing as the children of Israel. Our family has to say, yeah, something different that happened to them folks. It's something going on over there with them people. You know what I'm saying? These people got they got some sort of power that's because when else are we going to be able to show his power? Once we get in the wilderness, it's over with after that. We got to have a period of time where we be able to operate in the power of the Most High God. And guess what? Without restriction.
Hallelujah.
In humility. You know, this is when we getting ready to go to school. I believe in my spirit, this is when the bell getting ready to ring and school is getting ready to be here. That the Most High can take you through something and say, I'm going to allow you to operate in my power. Because, see, that's what's missing in the religions today. I heard a man say that the Caucasian population of the churches is falling away. They're not coming to church, especially not the millennials. They're not being bothered with the church. You know, they said that the African-American church is in a desperate situation because they're not coming to the church. And I said because there's no power there. So somebody is going to have to show up with some power, and we know magic is coming. So in order for there always has to be in this environment, in this dimension, the relics of good and evil. So if magic shows up, then Yah's power got to show up, and it's only one people on the earth that he's going to allow to operate that in. One people. And that's going to be Israel.
Yeah. So the world must know that we love one another and it will be shown.
Yeah. Hallelujah. And that we are the children of Israel. Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High. This is the time. You know, it's not just the curse being over with, but what comes with it? What we going to do with it once it's over with? How we going to operate? You know, that we get mature enough where the Most High say, all right, I'm going to give you my power, but you have to use it according to the word. You know, you think about Elijah. Elijah had a power that was next to none. He just spoke a thing and it was done. He did. You know, when Jezebel sent her army to go get him, they sent 50 at a time. He killed them all. And then 50 more came, and when the last bunch that came, the man said, please don't kill me. I'm just coming because she wants you to come before her. You know, so, and then he was serious about that for real. He just spoke it, and them folks were dead. I mean, that was some serious power. And that's the same way we was in the children, when we were in, our ancestors was in the wilderness, is the same way those nations were afraid of them. They were afraid of them because of the power of Yah. And everybody on the earth says today, every religion professes to have the power of Yah. But nobody can operate it because it wasn't meant for them. It wasn't meant for them. It's only one people on the earth that's going to be able to operate in that power, and that's the children of Israel. This is where we headed. It's got to be. I got chills running through me. It's got to be a change. Something is getting ready to happen to us that we're going to be able to move out in his power.
There has to be a change that the world would know. It won't
Absolutely.
Be a change that we need to see. We just need to show it by obedience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Woo! Merciful, merciful, merciful. And you know, you just be like, whoa, this is really getting ready to be interesting. You know, that not only is he going to show up, but he's going to show his power. Because anytime he say, you think it was something when I took you out of the land of Egypt, he said, wait till I bring you from the north country and from the south. You know he getting ready to show out.
Oh, yes.
He getting ready to show out. I mean, all the way out. You know, and to the point where we going to sit back at our like, wow. You know, you just sit back and look like, wow. And look, with your mouth hung open. I mean, you didn't have me like that so many times. Just with this little stuff, I can't imagine what it's going to be like when he show out. You're just going to be like, wow. Something powerful. Awe-striking. You're just in awe. You're just sitting there just struck like, wow. You know, for us. You know, don't be surprised. I'm telling you. Whatever he can raise, I mean, it's going to scare the mess out of us. I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to scare you now because it ain't something you're used to, but once you get used to it, I don't think you ever get used to it. I don't know. But the most powerful thing is, you know, I've always been a fan of Star Trek. I've always liked those shows that deal with outer space because it connected me to Yah. And I can't get it out of my mind that somewhere in another dimension there is a kingdom. There's a kingdom. And in this kingdom, they have beings. They have angels that look like humans. They have angels that look like creatures. They have angels that have four faces. They have a tribunal of gods that are in the council of Yah. There are citizens in this kingdom. You know what I'm saying? There's been warring taking place in this kingdom. And this kingdom is being managed by the Father. And the Son of Man is in this kingdom with him as well. And according to the book, you know, because that's somewhere I read that he's there in the kingdom too. And when you look at this kingdom that's out in a whole other dimension that we don't have privy to, that these two kingdoms are getting ready to connect with each other by way of Yah.
Got your life, can I approach it?
Oh, my goodness. Bro, he's coming. Do you know from that dimension into this one to acknowledge the fact that he heard our cry?
Got your life, can I approach that kingdom? Talk about
Man, it's just too much. It's just too much. When you understand
that,
I'm sorry, couldn't hear you say it again?
I said I was speaking Klingon to you.
I guess you were. You better stop now. You know what? Now, when the Klingons show up, you're going
to... You're speaking to a Klingon. What are you talking about?
Ooh, don't you start nothing. I'm telling you. You just don't know what we get ready to endure. Damn, because you know what we are? We are the key to the clock coming to an end. We are the key that's going to change the dimension change the interaction between the two dimensions. Israel been standing in the breach the whole time, and we didn't even know it. We've been sitting in a state of captive. We've been in a captive state all this time, blocking the two sides from colliding with each other because everything is contingent upon this thing right here. This 400 years is going to be bigger than what we could ever imagine.
When you think about it, we've actually been in the breach ever since he chose us.
Yes! Yes! In the breach, just sitting here. We thought we were just sitting in a punishment state, but we have been the thing that has kept the other side from going too far, and we've been the thing that's holding y'all side from coming into manifestation, and the 400 years is getting ready to be up, and y'all getting ready to show up on our behalf. Can you imagine that?
Well, no, but you, when you think about it, how do you think this country got so great? It wasn't because of what they did. It was because of what we did. I mean, actually, y'all did through us.
That's true.
If we were, we were anywhere else, I mean, when you think about it, the United States should have lost every war that it fought. It really should have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Japanese, from the Japanese, the Germans, were better armies. The British definitely in 1776 was a much better army than the United States was. All of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, because we were here, because we were playing, y'all, through us, helped this country to make it. Because his people were here.
Yeah.
How come?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Haitians, they chased out the French, but yet they didn't finish the job. They did not finish the job, and that's why she is like she is today.
Powerful thing. It's some powerful stuff jumping off. It really is. It's just unbelievable.
White people will tell you that it is because of their God's divine hand was on them. But no, it was not on them. It never was on them. His divine hand and his eye was on us. I truly believe that. I truly believe that.
I do too. I do too. I really do too. I do too. I really do. I really do too. It's just amazing. You know, and then I heard somebody say that this brother wrote a book that says that 20 slaves came here on a ship. Let me see where it is. It's called The White. Yeah, because I wrote some notes down here because I wanted to address that. It's called The White Lion, that the ship that the 20 slaves came in on 1619 was called The White Lion, and that they came as indentured servants. I'm so sick of that lie, because guess what? Let Yah be true and every man be a liar. The word of Yah explained how we got here, and the word of Yah explained what state we was going to be in when we got here, and they served themselves of us from the time we stepped off the boat. He done wrote this book to say we was indentured servants and we wore fancy clothes and we had our own houses in this land and we had this and we had that. And down through a course, down through time, we became slaves. We were slaves when we stepped off that boat.
We certainly was, because I tell you what, I remember in the fourth grade when I started studying history, and the book that they gave us in Virginia, studying Virginia history, they said that when those people came off, those 20 black people, that they were slaves. They were not indentured servants. The only indentured servants were white people. We, our people, our ancestors were slaves. Now, before they came here, those 20, there were other blacks that did come here, and they were very, very successful. As a matter of fact, some of the white women that was here with their men, they ran away from them and they went to where those black men were. My county, where I'm from, when the aristocrats from England came over, they saw all of these mulatto children. And when they saw that, they wondered where did those children come from. And when they found out that it was from a black man and a white woman union, well, they started making laws against that, as you know, called miscegenation. And if a white woman was found cohabitating with a black man, she would be beaten, put in the stockades, and then sold deep south, probably out there in the Caribbean somewhere. Whereas the black man was put into the stockade, he was beaten, and he was sold as a slave throughout the colonies, especially the Virginia colony.
That's right.
So these people are trying to rewrite history to make people think that that there was no slavery, that everybody came here voluntarily, and especially us here as an indentured servant, which was a lie. Because they know daggone well that they don't want to pay those reparations. I don't care whether we get them or not, because I know,
I know from them.
I know that Yah is going to do it for us. If they give it to us while we are here, fine. If they do not, fine. The
yeah.
thing is that Yah is going to be the one, just like he did our ancestors over in Egypt when they were slaves in Egypt. And he made the Egyptians give them whatever they asked for, all the gold, all the silver, all the jewels, all the raiment that they could carry.
Yes.
And I believe the same thing that is going to happen here. Because when they see this nation devastated because they did not repent of anything that they have done, not only to us, but also to other people around the globe, other dark people around the globe,
yes.
they are as well as Earth itself. They're going to pay for it. And not only
yeah.
them, but
Hallelujah.
Every European nation that is around the globe, from Europe to the Americas, all the way to the Far East, in other words, Australia and New Zealand. And the things that are happening, natural disasters that you're seeing, it is warnings to them to wake up. Your time is short.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, it is. Yes, it is, because he's coming to judge. That's what the History Channel just pulled up a thing on the History Channel. It says slavery in America started in 1619 when a Dutch ship brought 20 African slaves ashore in the British colony of Jamestown, Virginia. It said throughout the 17th century, European settlers in North America turned to African slaves as a cheaper, more plentiful labor source than indentured servants who were mostly poor Europeans.
And let me tell you, who authorized that? That was the Pope, one of the popes back there. I think his name is Pope Pius, I believe. He was the one that did it back there. That authorized slavery, perpetual slavery of our people. That we would never, never be free from it. This was their idea.
Hallelujah. Listen at that. It says, so though it is impossible to give an accurate figure, some historians have estimated 6 to 7 million black slaves were imported to the New World during the 18th century alone, depriving the African continent of some of its healthiest and ablest men and women. And guess what? It was tobacco, rice, and sugar.
Well, Virginia is known for tobacco. That is for sure.
Yeah. And they said that the man who brought the tobacco seeds to the New World was the husband of Pocahontas, that was her husband, and he was the one that brought the seeds and stuff here to plant for the tobacco, and the African people were the labor source to be able to harvest that stuff, because you had to be out in the sun. So all them people talking about, these people done wrote these books talking about we was indentured servants, that's a doggone lie, and it don't line up with y'all's word, and it is not true.
I guess they must have used olive oil on their skin, huh?
Johnny? It's not true. Now let y'all be true and every man be a liar. Because this is it. This is when we get ready to move into phase two. You know, and them 20 slaves earmarked the beginning of the 400 years. The clock started when they stepped off the boat. Obviously.
Got it.
When them 20 slaves hit that seashore, the clock started ticking. That prophecy was, it rang out in the heavens. When he gave it to Abraham, he said, your seed. He didn't say the whole tribe. He didn't say all of the tribes. He said, your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them and afflict them for 400 years. So them 20 servants that stepped out that boat was from the seed of Abraham. My. Woo!
It just gave you chills to see the Most High's prophecy coming to pass. That's prophecy coming to pass. 5,000 years later, this is a 5,000-year-old prophecy coming to pass. Powerful. Right now. That's a lot going on. You know, to see Yah do what he said he's going to do.
Yep. Downrange on target.
And I know we've been talking about it and talking about it and talking about it, but guess what? What else is there to talk about? Ain't nothing else to talk about. It's like, look, this is it. We can ready to meet y'all. And that's all I think about. That's how I go to bed thinking about it. I wake up thinking, wonder what it's going to be like. Wonder what he's going to do. You know, wonder how it's going to be. Powerful stuff. I mean, this is just amazing. Woo, my. Powerful. That's what he's
always
doing.
Be ready.
Making it happen.
Always be ready. Simple practice. Always be ready. Thing is that if he does not come that day or even 6 months or even a year from now, always be ready.
Always
expect
him. Yeah.
Do not give up.
Absolutely. Because we got a work to do. You know, already now, even in this condition that we're in now, the closer we get. You know, you pay attention to the words that come out of your mouth and the things that you say and see whether or not y'all bring those things to pass. You know, that's why I said the tongue can speak blessing or cursing.
That's right. It certainly can. That's the power of
the
tongue.
You got to watch.
Life and death.
Yes. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. I shall live. I shall make it to the wilderness. I shall. Be there on September 7th and 8th. I will be in good health. I will make it to the wilderness if it's your will. I'll be there.
Because we're going to be seeing some things.
We'll
be seeing some things, and a lot of folks will probably fall away. I hope not. I'm praying. But mostly also for my family, my wife and I. Because we said, you know, hey, whenever y'all said, let's go, we're going. We don't care. House, cars, anything else we have, bank accounts, it don't matter. We're out.
Yeah.
I trust him. We trust him much more than we trust man. And when he says it's time to go, it's time to go. Whether we get on ships, whether we have angels fly us up there, or whether we have Yeshua in the clouds and we meet him up there, and he go down and take us over there to where we supposed to be, in Mount Sinai or wherever, that's where we want to be at.
Hallelujah. All praises to the Most High Yah. What a blessing it is. What a blessing to even have this kind of a Elohim that is so nigh unto us that we can, that our ancestors heard his voice when he spoke, that he's there for us when we say a prayer. And he answers.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I got so sick of that mess about that indentured servant mess. I'm like, stop lying. All you do is lie. Everybody want to make it. Everybody's trying to escape the punishment. Ain't nobody going to be able to escape. Nobody.
They didn't pay for it.
It's going to be
They got to pay for what? They got to pay for what they did. They went way too far. Way too far.
No. Everything that y'all said was going to happen to us in Deuteronomy 28 has happened. It happened.
Yep.
And you still got black folks. You know, they some of these people are so in love with the captor that they refuse to accept the fact that the story is the way it is. Irregardless of what you tell them, irregardless of what you show them, they still try to validate the story that the captain done told them. And like I told them, I said, you got to consider who wrote the book.
Yep. It's good cop, bad cop. That's all there is to it.
Some of them
that are really good, so-called good to us, and we lower our defenses because we've been hurt, humiliated, beaten, killed, raped, anything and everything you could think of, by the bad one. So when the good one comes over there to you, I'm gonna give you a piece of chicken leg, and you can sleep on the pine. You can go down, lay on down with a nice blanket upon you, and be warm. And that's, you know what I'm saying? And we seem to think that, oh, Master loves us. He loves me. He loves me. No, he don't. He's just getting you to do exactly what he wants you to do. And then if he can't do that, then the bad one come on up in that and force you to do it. See, the good master wants to go it on and clean his conscience. Clean. He wants a clear, clean conscience. Saying, well, I did give him a piece of chicken leg. I did let him sleep on the pine floor. Please.
But you know what? These are our family members that will argue you down. They will argue you down because of something they done read in a book. It's like a book could say anything. Anybody can write a book. Anybody can make words say anything they wanted to say. Don't you believe God? It is just like they will rebut you just to make themselves seem like they know something. It's like you still won't accept the fact that we are who we are, and you still can't accept the fact that the 400 years is what it is.
See, that's the problem, because a lot of them do not ask for the Ruach. They do not ask the Father to send his Ruach to them. They don't ask for discernment. They don't ask for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. They read it like it's a flat map. But the thing is that there are so many convolutions, so many hills, twists and turns, and all kind of nooks and crannies in the Bible, that if you don't ask for that discernment, you'll just stay on the flat page. It's like being on a, they say you got some people say that the earth is flat. I disagree with it. I know that it's not flat because I've gone around the world. So you got these people who think that the earth is flat, and that's how people read the Bible, with a flat earth mentality, rather than a beautiful round ball mentality.
Yeah. Powerful. It's just unbelievable. I heard a pastor say that today, Hebrew pastor, that the earth is now listen to this craziness. If the earth has a foundation, then it has to be flat because a round ball don't have a foundation.
Y'all was the one who ended it. Yeah, no idea how he did it. He's not going to tell us. Ask Job, because Job will tell you. He asked Job, can you tell me how
he sure
I did certain things? And Job couldn't answer.
He sure did. He asked those questions because you got that right. You know, and you know, it's just sometimes you have to dismiss family members who just refuses, because that's nothing but pride and ego. That's all it is pride and ego and denial. You know, some people are living in denial because their eyes aren't open. So they want you to question yourself. And it's like, no, when you got that kind of pride and ego, we have to dismiss you from the total equation, because it is the Most High opens up your eyes, and if you're Israel, because everybody in our family ain't Israel. And that's a hard pill for some people to swallow. Everybody in our family is not Israel.
No, they're not.
And sometimes you have to just dismiss them and let them go on and be about who they are, because, you know, our job is not to try to continually try to convince anybody, because they will never see it until Yah opens up their eyes. They just won't be able to see this. It's not something they're going to be able to see. And it makes you feel privileged, and you feel humbled and special that the Most High opened up your eyes when he did. Because now you see these other people that are walking around just in blind darkness and arrogant about it. And it's like, you know, nobody can do anything to penetrate your thinking, because you're not where you need to be.
We're not supposed to. All we can do is just get the message out there. That's what we're supposed to do. Get the message out there. Allow them to decide. And if they still have not decided, Yah is going to talk to them. He's going to talk to them in dreams and in visions.
Yeah.
And when you start seeing those beings and hearing things and also you know, seeing that some parts of the earth is being hit hard and other parts are being nice and clean, people gotta be talking. They're gonna be wondering, like, well, you know, I heard that this you know, my aunt and the family was telling me about y'all, telling me about these things that was going to happen, saying that Yahushua was going to be coming soon. Maybe that's much more to this than I thought. So, you know, you just go ahead and you just keep telling them. If they want to hear it, fine. Great. There you go. If they don't want to hear it, maybe it may not be you, but somebody will tell them, and Yah will use that person. In other words, all you do is you water the seed. You plant the seed, someone else will go ahead on and water it. But believe me,
that's true.
It's going to penetrate. They will break through that hard soil.
Yes, they will.
And come to,
I guess he will.
You have to be patient with Yah and allow Yah to do his thing. We all do.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it's just difficult when they try to tell you what the truth is. And it's like, no, that's not the truth. No, but it's got to be like this because this is what – it doesn't matter because you're going to college and you're going to study religious theology. You're studying the religion and the theology of your captor. Of course the books are going to be about them.
Yes, and that is the reason why they try to go in on to brainwash our people into thinking their way. This is what they have done because we don't have the way that we used to think or the African way of thinking. Because remember, when we were in Israel, we had our thinking there. And then when we got chased out of Israel into Africa as well as the four corners of the earth, what happened? We absorbed, after generations, we started absorbing some of their philosophies and some of their ideas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Began to forget Yah. And then Yah used the pagans, the Christian pagans, to come after us. And that's why I used to wonder, why is it that he talked about serving wood and stone? I didn't understand it. But now I do. Being the cross and the stone being the nation of Islam.
Absolutely. The
and
two major religions that function in the earth.
Mm-hmm. And our people are serving both of them.
Yeah, that's true. That is so, so true. It's just so sad. It's just like somebody asked me the other day. She said, so why is Easter pagan? I said, because it has nothing to do with the resurrection. I said, all this is based around the resurrection of Christ. She said, She said, so, okay. She said, so what's the purpose of the egg? I said, that's the main pagan part. I said, because it was the goddess of fertility that was actually what the egg was supposed to represent. I said, and not to mention, bunnies don't lay eggs. Bunnies have bunnies. She was like,
yes, they do.
I said, and now mind you, I'm in a place. I ain't going to tell you where I was. You can figure it out for yourself. I'm in a place where the whole room quiet. And I wasn't loud. I was just speaking, but sometimes my voice carried. And I said, just like Friday was Good Friday, I said, and that was supposed to be the day that Christ died. I said, and Sunday morning was supposed to be Resurrection Sunday. I said, and he clearly told you that he was going to be in the earth for 3 days and three nights. Now, you calculate for me how you can get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. And she just looked baffled. I said, but the Catholic Church is the one who created all of that stuff. Then people know it's not real, but they do it anyway.
Yep. Catholic Church also the one that said, even them too.
Right, that's what I told her. I said, and the story is that the boar, which is the pig, is the one who killed Tammuz, and that is why they serve pig on Easter Sunday. And I told her, I said, I listened to a YouTube clip called The Origin of Easter. It was an hour and 26 or 46 minutes long. I said, and he wasn't even Israel, but he broke that thing down to the point where it was simple enough for people to understand. I said,
but you know what? People don't want to hear the truth. They don't want the truth. They want to do what they've been doing. Because the truth means they have to stop and identify that they're doing something wrong. Most people don't want the truth.
Because they feel like they've been doing that tradition for so long. Because the tradition. That's the tradition of man. That's what Yeshua was talking about. That men follow the traditions of men rather than the word of Yah or the laws of Yah.
And guess what? This person has been on our show, listened to our show forever, and they still won't come. The books say that we came as indentured servants. Well, if that's what you believe, who are you trying to convince, me or you? Because you know what we stand for. It ain't like it's something that we just heard. You can't convince us of anything different. But you would bring it up because you want to be the one that seems like the most intelligent one because of what you think you're learning in the school of your captors. Of course they're going to teach you their story. They ain't telling us nothing about who we are. They ain't even if we was African, tell us one time that in the school of our captors that they sat down and explained what Negro land is and where it was. They ain't never told us nothing about that.
I ain't never heard nothing about it. And I was in school back on 55 years ago or 54 years ago, something like that. Anyway, that just told my age. But I'm just saying the fact is that, you know, they don't tell us about us. They don't want us to know about who we are. That's why when we go outside of their norm and we start standing up and questioning them, and saying, no, I'm not thinking like that anymore. Think this way. I'm going to question everything that you tell me. I'm going to look things up. Somebody or someone is going to tell me. The Spirit will lead me to where I need to go, and somebody will tell me and show me what I need to know. That's why they kept trying to hide us and keep us from Africa, because they knew that we were Africa, that especially Ethiopia, Ethiopia will open up its books to us and would tell us, and we would learn things. And then other parts of Africa. And then when you go to Egypt and you look at the walls of Egypt, when pictures on the wall, I see some dark-skinned people there. Yeah, you may have a few light-skinned ones there or some white ones there, but the white ones, they were the ones who were slaves because you got them holding black children on their shoulders. That's what a slave is supposed to do. But see, but they always want to go ahead on and say that, well, we are Egyptian. You know, we have white pharaohs. The only pharaoh, you didn't have no pharaohs. When Greece came down there to steal everything, they wanted to be worshipped as pharaoh. But the Egyptians and the Christians, the Egyptians, they wouldn't do it. Christianity started actually there. Because the guy, what was his name? I can't think of his name, but he was the emperor. I believe it could have been Ptolemy, but one of them wanted to be called Christ. And that's where the name Christ came from. This thing is so daggone convoluted and crazy. I mean, it's just really ridiculous. I mean, oh boy.
And you can see how they conspired together. All of them came together to make sure that we would never come to the knowledge. Because like I said, you know, we were really Africans like they said we was, and we was from Africa like they said we was. It would seem like in school we would get some sort of African teaching. We don't know nothing about no African king, no African queen. We don't know nothing about Negro land. We don't know nothing about nothing other than what took place in this land right here. Our Black History Month is about blues singers and a few inventors, but most of the stuff is about slavery, which is fine now, and all the other stuff. But all the books that we study is about them, and that is where we learn everything. Even the theology book is from their perspective. And it's like, no, it's got to be more to this than this. But you know what our people will do? They will argue you down because they feel like they're getting something special because you're paying money to learn about them. Because that's what you're doing.
And it's like, well, you know, my thing is have at it. I'm not arguing no more. I'm not going to try to convince anybody to do anything anymore. Y'all have to be the one to do that in your own time. I just hope that when this thing is all over, that everybody makes the right decision for themselves, because this has to be something that's individual.
Yes, you make sure that you be ready to go. You be ready to go.
Exactly. 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 Because, you know, just to be in the trash, it's just, oh, my goodness. Just to see the indoctrination that has taken place and the lynch that our people will go through to just to seem like they got the answer. And it's like, no, that's not true, but they can't see it. So, you know, you're expecting too much from a blind person because they can't see it. And then when you tell them that, they get mad. I can't see it. I see what you – no, you don't see what I see. Because if you did, it would be blatantly apparent, and you would see it from a different perspective. You don't see what I see.
That is also pride. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, they go there to these schools, and they're taught all these things from the European perspective, and the Europeans will give them the accolades for sounding just like a parrot, to be repeating back everything that was given to them. And then they go out, and they tell other folks that are uneducated as far as what they know, and then those folks will be saying, well, you know, the pastor says, rather than picking up the book for yourself, reading it for yourself, and asking y'all for the Spirit to go on to give you discernment and understanding and knowledge and wisdom.
That's true. That is so true. It is, but you just gotta let y'all do the process, because some people, you know, everybody has a different journey. Everybody has a different journey, and some people's journey is not going to end up the way that they think it's going to end up. Some people are not going to have the same journey as other people, and you have to be able to say, you know, do the best you can and tell as much as you can and pray for people, because that's all you can do. And like you said, what about you? Because you can't try to save nobody, and you can't try to change it or fix it. Y'all have to be the one to do that. And if he allows them to come, they will come. But a lot of people, I know this is going to be hard to take from some people, but a lot of people are going to perish in this land right here.
Yeah. There's
going to be a lot of people perish. It is. There's going to be a lot of people, just because of pride, they're going to perish in this land trying to hold on to something that they just refuse to let go. They are. They're going to perish.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah, I see that. Oh, man, you cannot save your wife or your children. And wife, you cannot save your children or your husband.
No.
So, you know, we have to look. All we can do is support each other, support our spouses, support our children, support our families and our friends, and even the stranger who is looking for to come with us when Yah says, let's go.
That's crucial. I just, you know, I wonder sometimes, and maybe I shouldn't, but I wonder sometimes how Yah's going to do it. Because just what you said right there, you know, to be able to, that's going to be a very sad day for a husband to have to walk away from his wife. It's going to be a very sad day for a wife to have to walk away from her husband, you know, and for, you know, I pray that Yah brings the children or the small children that can't make their own choices. But how he's going to do the separating and allow the separating to be, you know, and it's just going to be very interesting, you know, to watch what Yah does and how he does it. It's just a mirror, you know, it's amazing, because Egypt was different. Everybody left together. And it may be that way, too. It may be so bad when we do get ready to get up out of here that everybody's ready to go when that time comes, you know. And some people, depending on their social status, depending on, you know, their wealth and the things, some people may not come at that first go around.
Well, that's
you
why
know,
we have to study the Old Testament.
Try not to.
That's why we have to study the Old Testament so much, as well as the New. But the Old Testament, when you saw how Lot's wife looked back, and the angels told her, "Do not look at the city.
Don't look back."
And she looked back because she longed to be back there. And if people do that, and if they look back, then they won't leave. Yeshua said, "He who put his hand to the plow cannot look back Just keep plowing. Chief, keep going. Keep going straight.
It's not fit for the kingdom of Yah. That's what he said. If you look
That's
back,
it.
You're not fit for the kingdom of Yah. That's how.
Mm.
No, you got it. And that's some big boy stuff.
You
know what I mean? It's easy to say,
right.
But that's some big boy stuff right there. If you ever say, keep straight, don't look back. Don't look to the right. Keep straight going.
I got a taste of that because I was with a woman who was my wife at the time, and I had gotten involved with the Seventh Day Adventist. And when I had left the Baptist church, she was Baptist, and it got to the point where, when I went to the Seventh Day Adventist seminars, I had learned a great deal about the seventh day, and that's the day that we should be worshiping on. I didn't know that. I expected it, but I didn't really know it. And then learning about the four beasts and all of that, and then just going from point A all the way up to Revelation, from Genesis to Revelation. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we were in the church that I was in, and somebody asked me, they said, you know, if your wife, because I know that you're married, because I had told them, if your wife doesn't come, what will you do? I said, well, you know what? If she doesn't come, I'm still going to follow. I call him God then. I didn't know about his name, Yah. I will still follow Yah, I mean God, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
I will still follow his son, Jesus, no matter what. I will not turn back. And guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That came when my ex-wife, when she left me. You talk about devastating.
Stop
that. I mean, I had just started going to the class in February. Class ended around March. She and I, we broke up in May.
Wow.
She went her way.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I've had some devastating hits in my life. Devastating hits. But I said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you.
Yet will I trust you. Yes. Hallelujah.
Those words took me through. Yeah. Those words took me through. But now I'm blessed with another wife, and I tell you, she's right up there with me.
Hallelujah.
Right up there with me. And I'm thankful for her.
It's a blessing that you both is on the same page. It's a blessing you on the same page.
When I first told her what I had found out, because she was also at 770 Adventist. When I first told her what I found out about Yah's name, Yeshua's name, the Ruach, and telling her about, you know, other stuff that I had found out, at first she looked at me like I had two heads. Because she was a Seventh-day Adventist. She grew up in the church. You can say she was knee-high to a frog.
See?
And then when she started doing her own research, that's when things changed.
That's
and you talk about grateful. Yep. I didn't try to beat it in there. I didn't try to force it or anything like that. Pray to Yah and ask him, please send your spirit to her and show her the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he did.
Hallelujah.
Ever forever.
Hallelujah. And you know what? Go ahead. What you say? I can't hear you.
Even though our families look at us like we got four heads. But you know what? All we can do is do what we do. We just tell them and let them know and just keep it going.
That separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. And it's going to take, you know, it's going to be able to, the love that you have for everybody, you know, and family members of life. You know, you want to see everybody make it, but at the same time, it's not your call. That's not yours. I learned something in my walk with the Most High, and that's to stay in my lane. I let Yah be Yah, and I stay in my lane, and I do what I'm supposed to do. And he will do what is already required because he knows those that are his, and they're going to make it. I mean, I look at my children sometimes and say little things to let me know that they have every intention on coming. But you know how kids are. They start dating different people and doing different things, and their attitude changes. And, you know, and I look at them sometimes, and I just say, well, Yah, they're in your hands now because I've done what I was supposed to do. I raised them up. I showed them who you were. I told them what I learned.
As I became into the knowledge, I brought them into the knowledge, and I've asked them, you know, to study more and to be a part of what we're doing. I said, but you have to be the one to really be able to do this, and it can't be me. You know, so as I come to that conclusion, you know, I said, one day I'm going to sit down with them and tell them, you know, I've been the best mother I know how to be. You know, I did what I thought was right, and I helped to bring you to this point. All praises to the Most High Yah, you know, because without him we wouldn't have made it. I said, but now that we're here now, there may be a separation between us that we have to be willing to accept, you know, and a lot of times you don't listen to me, you know, until after it's over with and you say, I wish I had to listen. I said, and that's all of us. We've all had that same conversation. I said, but at some point, we're either going to say goodbye or we're going to be sitting side by side on the boat together, but we got to be able to come to the conclusion that that's what it's going to be. You know, and when I put it like that, you know, I can have a little bit more of peace with my journey, because I don't tend on missing that under any circumstances because of no one, because I've been through too much to miss something like that and to not be able to be. Do I want them there? I want all my children there, my grandchildren there, and my one great-grandbaby. I want her to be there too. But everybody's living their own lives. They either have husbands or they got boyfriends or they got significant others or whatever they want to call, you know, their partners or whatever, you know, and it shapes their way of thinking irregardless to the way they've been taught.
You got it. Can I brag on my wife for a second?
Say again?
Can I brag on my wife for a second?
Absolutely. Go ahead and brag on your wife. We don't hear that all the time. Please do.
My wife is 11 years older than I am. My wife has raised four daughters by herself.
Hallelujah.
My wife raised them in an environment that was hostile, and she got them out from that area that she was in and put them in a house and raised them from right there until they were grown women and they went off to college.
Hallelujah.
She has moved to hell and back. I'm not kidding you. My wife is also, she has asthma. She almost passed away several times. I had no idea of who she was then. I was not around. But from what I found out, not only from her, but also from her family, she almost didn't make it several times. And yet, Yah pulled her through.
Hallelujah.
My wife raised those girls as best as she could. Those girls are still married to their husbands 20-plus years. My wife has grandchildren, and she's got 10 great-grandchildren.
Wow.
When you look at her, you would not know that she is a great-grandmother. She looks
all right.
Damn good. Excuse my French, but damn good. She really does. And I'm very, very proud of her, extremely proud of her, because I've got a good woman,
All right.
And I wouldn't trade her for anything in the world. Sometimes she drives me crazy, at times, but I love her. And I just wanted to say that to anybody that's out there, and yes, she is a black woman.
Okay.
She is a black Panamanian. Fluent in Spanish, fluent in English. Spanish being her first native language. I'm very, very proud of her.
Hallelujah. And that's what we need to hear. You know, that's a blessing to be able to have a man say that about his wife. And, you know, that's something that we need to hear that needs to be on the record all the time. You know, and I know she's very happy, and you know, it's good for a man to say that about his wife. That's a blessing, because in this captivity, you rarely hear that. You rarely hear anybody say that.
You will meet her come September. You will meet her.
I look forward to it. Let me make this announcement real quick since we got a few more people on here. We have secured the date, and we have set up the items for the chairs and the tents and the tables, and we have to put a $345 deposit down, which is half of the cost for the chairs, the table, and the tent. And we want everyone to gift, if you would, something toward that. You can either send it through PayPal, and our PayPal email address is Nation of Yehuda, and Yehuda is YEHUDAH at yahoo.com. That's our PayPal email address, Nation of Yehuda, YEHUDAH at yahoo.com. Or if you want to mail something, you can send it through the mail, and the mailing address is P.O. Box 40209, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45240. Now, I haven't signed the contract or anything yet. It's still in my email, because once I sign the contract, I definitely want to put the money down, send the credit card number through for the money for the down deposit. We have to pay the rest of it 2 weeks before the event. I think it comes to $691 in total. So we have that done, and we have the sound system done, and then we have a few more things we have to get together, but this is something that we have to do as soon as possible. So if you can help us with that, we would greatly appreciate it. I will be announcing this on Thursday and Saturday, because if I don't sign anything this week, I will let them know that I will be signing it first thing Monday morning, and it would be really nice to be able to do that. First thing Monday morning, to be able to fill out the paperwork and fax it back to them and call them with a credit card number so we can get those dates reserved. And as we add more people, we will add more chairs. We just started with 100 chairs, and that's what we have right now is 100 chairs. And as more people register, we'll add more chairs, and then we'll have that bunch to donate and do it that way. So, if you guys could do that, I would greatly appreciate that as soon as you can. You know, we don't have a specific amount. Whatever you can afford to do, please help us in any way you can, you know, and we will to help to make this day be, you know, a success, because we want, you know, for y'all to show up. We have a few more things that we're doing, but this is the major one right here. We kind of cut the cost down on the sound system, and we found a way around that one. But we got a few more things that we have to do, so if you can help us with this, that's just a start. We appreciate it. All right, so, I mean, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to get that out before we end at 8 o'clock. But it's just a blessing, you know, to be at this point in life and to have a mate that you have with you to walk the rest of the way with your life, in your life with you together. That is truly a blessing, you know, and to be able to be headed in the same direction is more of a blessing, you know, and it's an example to everyone else that's on this line, because it wasn't the first wife, it was the second wife, or how many of you have, that you can still find happiness. You know what I'm saying? You can still find somebody to be with you, even if you messed up where you were. You can still find, you know, a partner if that's what you want. You know, that's, they're out there. One, like I said, this is going to be a pivotal move for us as a nation, because once the curse is up, the thinking has to change, because a lot of the ways that we have been thinking is as a result of the captivity in the place that we're in. Yah has to do something to the mind to change the way we think, which will give us an opportunity to look at ourselves different, and not only ourselves, but each other. And we never know what that's going to be, because to me, what that means is we're going to meet family members that we've never met before, because you got to remember, When we were transported, the husband went one way and the wife went another way, and they were mated with other people and had children. The Most High's gonna straighten all that out. Can you imagine?
Yes, he is. He will straighten it out. And he said that once we get over there, he said that once we get there, we're going to loathe ourselves for what we have done.
Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So that lets you know that we don't want this thing again. We don't want this same thing.
No.
And
I don't want
to that.
Now. It's like nobody want to do this. Nobody want to live like this. This is not living to me. I mean, look, I've never been rich. I've never had the opportunity to be rich. But the lifestyle that I lived, I did manage to do some things in my life that was different from a lot of people, and I've seen a lot of things, and I've experienced a lot of things
And I, there's nothing that I have seen or experienced that I could say for a surety, now I had a good time. Because now that you look at it, when you look back at it, you realize that it really wasn't. It was, I mean, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, it was for that period in my life. But now looking back on it and knowing what I know, there's nothing that I want to do to take up my time right now in the state that I'm in, because now I see what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't. It's not.
I don't want to be without y'all. That's all of it to it. I mean, everything else you can take away from me. Everything else. But y'all, I do not want him to take his love from me. I really don't. I had a dream one time whereas I was separated from him. And I tell you, I've never felt the most loneliest of all times. I mean, really, really lonely.
I know.
And just despair.
I know.
And this
I know what you mean.
Well,
I guess what? I experienced that awake. I experienced that awake because I thought I wanted something, and I asked him for it. And when he gave it to me, and I realized what it was, I realized I had made one of the biggest mistakes I had ever made in my life because the thing that I thought I wanted, it wasn't conducive for y'all. It did, you know, it wasn't in his plan for me. But by the time I got it, it was like, I don't want this. And it didn't support y'all in any kind of way. It wasn't even familiar. It didn't fit. It just didn't fit. And when I realized that, I felt so lonely. Because when you go from having a relationship and a prayer life and a, you know what I'm saying, and a communication with him, and then all of a sudden that is cut, it's like, wait a minute, I don't like how this feels. And there's nothing in the world that can satisfy you once that's been cut. Nobody. There's no car, there's no house, there's no man, there's no woman, there's no sex, there's no drugs, there's no nothing that can meet up to that expectation. You feel like
gotta
there's
have
an
that
empty
foundation.
Hole.
You gotta have that foundation, and Yah is the true foundation.
Yeah.
He is the true entity of joy and happiness. He really is. I mean, it's beyond, it's off scale. It is off the scale.
It is. And have that cut. And have that kind of relationship cut because of a choice you made.
Yeah.
And I realized, I'll never do that again. And he let me make the choice. He watched me make it. He said, but this is what
you wanted. That's how good he is. He's not a god of force as far as like making you as a robot. He allows you to make the choice, but he also allows you to suffer the consequence so that would drive you back to him.
Oh, my goodness, did it. He was like, but this is what you asked me for. And this is what you want. I gave you what you wanted. I said, but I didn't know it was going to be expensive losing you.
Yep.
He said, but light and darkness can't dwell in the same place. So I can't be there with you because this is what you asked me for. And I said, well, I didn't know I was going to lose you in the process. I don't want this anymore. I said, I don't want this anymore. You didn't tell me you weren't going to be here with me. He said, light and darkness can't dwell in the same place together. I said, well, you can have his back because I don't want this anymore.
You know what? That's the prodigal son. And also his father. In other words, in your case, you being the prodigal daughter and the father being the father. And he stayed back, and he looked for you to come back to him.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, it was terrible.
Once you did what you had to do,
I cried. Oh, my goodness, I cried. There was an emptiness that nobody could face because when I went to have the same relationship with him, he wasn't there. And I said, wait a minute, hold on, something. And I felt it in my spirit. I was like, something is wrong. Because I see you, Brother Donny, something is wrong. I said, because I'm not used to this. I don't like this at all. And when I went to inquire, he said, but this is what you asked me for. And I gave it to you. Hold on, let me open his mic. Brother Donny, your mic is open. Go ahead.
on the air. Woo!
Yeah, Jerome, this is Donnie. Yeah, I hear y'all. And it's all good, you understand? But, you know,
Hallelujah. We
ain't got nothing else but to trust in the Almighty with all our
That's
heart.
That's it.
You understand? Anything else does not matter. It doesn't. You understand?
Mm-mm.
You know,
no, no.
I mean, he will make everything right. This, when the Almighty calls us back home, he said that we were going to be happy, overjoyed.
Ooh.
We were going to, he was going to give us above what he gave our forefathers. You understand? So that's what I'm banking my and living my life to be. You understand? One of the chosen that the Almighty said that's going to go back home. You understand? And one other thing I wanted to say is that I made a statement about us being made in the Almighty's image and His likeness. Do you know that we're gods?
Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
We were made in His image and His likeness.
Yeah.
We are gods. And He is
amazing.
We got to understand that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were in that standing until we failed. You know, and that's the whole story of the redemption is to bring us back to that status. That's where we headed back. You know, and I just, you know, I had to say that, you know, and I just was just in a mess, y'all. I just really was. I was young. I didn't know what I was asking for. And when he gave it to me, I was like, oh, I have made a mistake. And you know what I said? I'll never again trade my inheritance and my purpose for something as fragile as that ever again. I won't ever do that again. I know what that feels like. And that, trust me, it's not worth it. You know, the devil come along with all kind of stuff that look good to you. He do. He make it look good to you. But let me tell you one thing. It's hell to pay. I mean that. When you finally do get it, whatever it is you think you want, it ain't never what it's cracked up to be. And it's hell to pay. And you can feel the separation of Yah. And when you feel that, it ain't no fun. I cried many a night. I cried, where are you? I'm not used to this. I won't give up my birthright ever again for none of that. So, you know, I just
keep
wanted to share that because.
Keep that crown.
I won't give it up again, ever again. Not for that. I won't do it for that, for nothing. So we just hold on to that and move forward because, like you said, it was a lesson that he had to show me that I had to learn. And that's when you get the courage enough to say, whomever it is or whatever it is, I got to go. It's been fun, but I got to go.
Look at what happened to David. When he went ahead and had that relationship with Bathsheba, and then he killed, Uriah killed. And David, when Samuel came to him and told him what had happened, that, you know, as far as, you know, like what he had done, David could not deny it, and he didn't.
He didn't?
Yah still punished him, but he didn't run from the punishment. He took the punishment.
No.
Yet Yah still blessed him.
He still blessed him. And you go through hell.
Yep.
Let me tell you, like I said, it's hell to pay. And there ain't no joke when you make that kind of decision, when you operating out of your emotions and not out off of Yah's word. He said, I'll give it to you. I'm going to let you see what it is. Because, see, you have to know that it is in me that you live, move, and have your being. You can't even think really on your own without my assistance because if you do it on your own, you're going to make a mess. But I'm going to let you make a mess. And I'm going to show you what it feels like to be in a mess. And I'm going to back up and let you know what it's like for me not to be there. And it's not very fun. It really is. And it wasn't a dream for me, sir. It was a reality, and I had to feel that. I don't ever want to feel that again, ever.
But let me tell you, though, he was right there the whole time. Because Yeshua, when he was going through his thing with the stake and the beatings, when he was on that state, you know, that tree, could not perceive Yah. He could not perceive him. Even in the shroud of darkness, he could not perceive him. But yet, Yah was right there.
Right
he was
there.
Right there. And if even a slither of Yah's light, well, his power would have came through, a slither of it, it would have destroyed the whole planet.
But Yeshua
believed that Yah was there, even though he could not perceive him, but he believed what he had said, that he was going to be with him all the way.
Mm-mm.
You know, I was listening to your sister, Yain, and you said that you prayed and asked all night for something that you really didn't want, or you wanted it,
I wanted it until I got it.
And then when you found out, you understand, it wasn't what you wanted. We did the same thing to Saul. Called on Saul. We wanted Saul. We prayed for Saul. But then we found out that Saul was the wrong one.
He was the wrong one. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm saying. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but it's going to be the wrong one. Don't sell your birthright for nothing and nobody, because it ain't never what it's cracked up to be when you operating with your own flesh and your own thoughts. You gotta trust Yah through this whole step, every step of the way. You know, and then when you get in there, you're going to be like, Lord, what have I done? You know, and he let me stay in the suit for a minute. I'm like, this ain't going to work. Yeah, I don't want this. He said, but that's what you asked me for. That's what you prayed for. I said, I don't want to do this. No. Mm-mm, this is not, I don't even belong here. I'm totally out of my element. I don't even know, what am I doing? That's why I said we might wake up in this curse after this thing is over. And some of y'all might roll over and be like, who is you? Wait a minute, where am I? You know? Your whole mentality might change. Like, where am I? Who are you? This ain't where I'm supposed to be. For real. Because you might have that moment where your mind changes. Because the battle is in the mind.
That's it. That's it right there. Not the physical. It's the mental.
In the mind, you'd be like, I don't even like you. I don't even know what? I got to go. This is not, this ain't working. And the other people looking at you baffled, like you look like the same person, but you ain't the same person. You're like, I don't know what I told you back then, but today I made a mistake. For real, like, I made a mistake. I'm so sorry. And it's going to devastate a few people. Like you said, you was devastated. It's going to devastate a few people. But guess what? What the devil meant for evil, God's going to work it out for your good. And I can stand here today and say, I feel so free. I feel so happy, because it was only when I started doing what God told me to do that the burden lifted. And he came back into my psyche and my presence. And he's been here ever since. And I won't trade it for nothing and nobody.
There you go.
Mm-mm, not me. I don't know. I learned. You know, the Bible said, when you learn, I learned. Yeah, I learned that you don't never sacrifice.
I guess you got time to get in your butt with, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. It's just no, you know, it was just the whole, you know, when you royalty and you living in a state that you're really not supposed to be living in, and you look around and be like, this is not my normal surrounding. You know, and it's not royalty and stuff, but in your mind, when you belong to Yah, and you look and you enter into an environment where Yah doesn't exist, it's two totally different environments.
That's why I don't go out to the clubs no more. I haven't been out there to a club in like over 15 years.
Yeah, guess what? It could be a club, it could be a church, it could be somebody's house. It could be somebody's family. It could be a whole environment of people. It could be an art exhibit. It could be a business meeting. It could be a corporation, and you look around like, these people don't even know Yah. and the whole atmosphere is different. You feel like an outsider, and they try to make you feel included, but you're just not, because it's just not your normal habit.
Mm-hmm. In this house, we speak Yah. We talk about Him.
You know?
We talk about His name. We talk about the Ruach. We talk about the stories that's in the Bible. We always ask for the Ruach to give us wisdom, knowledge, as well as discernment.
Absolutely.
And you know, that's the thing that this house does. And my wife, she wanna listen to her music, which is praising Yah. I'm all for it. I have no problem with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a little problem with the music, but as far as myself, but you know, because I still like the old clean stuff. I don't like this new stuff that they got out there today.
Right. I understand. If anything we involve ourselves in, Yah has to be in it. You know, and it's hard to even go to work sometimes because it's an environment that's not conducive to the Most High. But we have to work in these environments in order to survive. So I suck it up and I go in every day and I try to be as pleasant as I can. You know, but anything that takes you, especially stuff you ask for, you know, and it's like, well, why did you give it to me if you knew it wasn't going to be? Because he said you had to see this for yourself. You know, you have to see this for yourself. You want this. This is what you asked me for.
Yeah.
So now I don't. I said, not my will.
Yes,
but that will be done. I don't know. No. Mm-mm. Yeah, ladies, no matter what he looks like, how he looks, what he's driving, what he's wearing, how much money he's spending, learn how to say no. No and no. I'm sticking with the Most High.
He ain't talking about Yah, and he's not displaying characteristics of Yah, especially the characteristics. Get away from him.
With the quick,
y'all, get away from him. Warp 8.
I told one young lady,
go.
I said, run.
Go to warp 16.
Don't look back. Whew. Well, guess what? I have enjoyed this show. I have. I guess it was some things that needed to be said. I have. So, you know, I just wanted to say to everybody, you know, I thank you all for helping us. Whoever can, please feel free to do so. We're moving forward as we tackle this one. Each month we'll have something to tackle until we get to, hopefully the month of July we'll be finished by then. But if we all do it together, it won't take much. We'll come together and make this thing happen and go from there. And on that note, I'm going to say shalom, shalom to everybody, and I hope you guys enjoy the rest of your evening. Thank you so much to you guys for helping me with the show, and we will see you on Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Good luck.